Frodo is a young hobbit and considered by just about everyone who meets him to be the best hobbit in the Shire. He knows how to speak Elvish. He's interested in people outside the Shire. He's a non-insular hobbit. He wants to travel. He wants to follow Bilbo. But not yet. The Fellowship of the Ring begins with a long-expected party. The first chapter of The Hobbit was an unexpected party, so Tolkien's trying to turn The Hobbit upside down. And this is going to be Bilbo's 111th birthday. He will be 111. Many people find that when they sit down to read The Lord of the Rings, they can't get past the first chapter, because there's a lot of what I would call hobbit business in the first chapter, kind of light jokes and talking about what hobbits do as they go from place to place and their customs and so forth. And to be honest, it's a little bit tedious. But what it does is set up beautifully what the Shire is and why the Shire, which is the country of the hobbits, is so important to Frodo. And this will be important throughout the entire sequence of books. So it's giving you the beauty, the bucolic nature, the kindness of the hobbits, and also their insularity. Frodo says at one point that he thought that an earthquake or an invasion of dragons would be really good for the hobbits, so that they would stop being this way. But on the other hand, he loves them so much he wants to protect them. So Tolkien has to find a way to tell his readers how the ring is important and to move the ring from Bilbo to Frodo. And he does this by having Bilbo have this huge birthday party, the end of which he vanishes, leaves the ring to Frodo. And it's at the end of that chapter that we first get the hint that something is wrong. Because Bilbo doesn't want to give up the ring and becomes very angry and almost violent to Gandalf when Gandalf says you need to leave it for Frodo. That's our first hint that something is wrong. The subsequent chapter, The Shadow of the Past, pretty much lays out the problem of the Lord of the Rings. Gandalf gives the history of the ring, how it was made by Sauron, how he lost it, how it was found by Gollum, how Bilbo got it, and he talks about the ring's power. This is the gimmick. The ring gives invisibility, we knew that from The Hobbit, but it also gives a dominating person the ability to dominate other people. First, because anything that's done with the other magic rings that are around in Middle-earth, there are 3 rings for the elves, 7 for the dwarves, and 9 for mortal men, the owner of the one ring can control those people, can control those rings. But just in general, it amplifies the power of domination and control. And it is itself intrinsically evil. No matter how hard you try to do good with the ring, it will twist what you do to evil. That's the real gimmick. That's what separates Tolkien's magic ring from other magic rings in literature and makes it characteristically 20th century. For example, in Plato's Republic, we hear of the Ring of Gyges. Gyges is an innocent shepherd who finds a ring that will allow him to turn invisible. And what he does then is basically rape and murder and destruction because he has this power. Plato's point is that even giving a good-natured, kind shepherd ultimate power will turn that person to evil. Similarly, in The Ring of the Nibelungs, which is in the German Nibelungenlied and most famously developed by Wagner in the Ring cycle, the ring is not intrinsically evil. The ring simply gives whoever has it the power to rule the world, and therefore evil, grasping people are fighting over it, trying to get to it. Tolkien's gimmick is to make his ring be intrinsically evil, and that's really important because people forget that. Characters within the story react against it, and critics also suggest that it's not really working. But that's the key point. The second major important point about the ring is that it cannot be destroyed by any means that a regular person possesses. You can't put it in a fire, you can't beat it with an axe or a hammer, you can't destroy it except by throwing it into the lava in the fiery heart of Mount Doom, which conveniently happens to be located right next to the Dark Lord's tower in the middle of his evil land. So from this point on, we have the outline of the quest. Frodo needs to take the ring to Mount Doom and destroy it. Easier said than done.